In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, or disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas. And by the way, Mark and Luke, who wrote part of the New Testament, are not apostles. You got that right? Luke isn't even a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's the physician that followed around Paul. And anyway, just thought I'd throw that out since we're reading their name and they're not here. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. I don't know what the simplicity of that was. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who has also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. The one thing I want you to know that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the kingdom of heaven is all that stuff that was promised back here to the fathers. You got it? And that is actually going to occur the second coming and the thousand-year millennial reign. That throne is what was promised back here to the fathers. And it was Israel's hope. And so when you hear the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of heaven, go preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel, look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, look if you will in verse 13. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the good news of the kingdom. What is the good news of the kingdom? Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at... That's the good news of the kingdom. Y'all understand? It was at hand. Why? The king was there. Really simple. And they're interested in this kingdom. In fact, look in Luke. And go to Luke chapter 1. Notice that the emphasis here in Luke chapter 1, let me get there. In Luke chapter 1, look if you will in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of who? Israel. I mean, this stuff isn't hard, guys. This, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Israel, verse 69, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, which is part of that Davidic covenant, right? This throne, this kingdom, this whole stuff. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began. That we should be saved from our... Hang on. I got my fingers in too many holes here. Enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to... What? Our fathers. The kingdom of heaven is a earthly kingdom that is going to be set up on this earth, and there is not necessarily eternal life in there. You got it? It's just a kingdom. And it's going to reign for how long? What, 1,000 years? And then how long? Forever and ever. And so you got the rapture of the church and 7 years of tribulation. And so what God is doing back here in Matthew, or what Jesus Christ is doing in Matthew, Mark, well, they're one and the same. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is preparing a nation to go in to their kingdom. It was the thing that was promised. Go back to Exodus. Go to Exodus. Go to Exodus 19. And I want you to see for a minute that Jesus Christ didn't come down to save the world. He came down to fulfill the promises, and we're going to see that in Romans in just a minute, made unto the fathers. That's what He's doing. And that kingdom is the whole deal. In Matthew 19, y'all there? Read with me in verse 5. I hope you're getting Bible pens. Take notes. Go home and study it. Verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye, who's the ye? Yes, the children of Israel of verse 3. You see that? Very part, the children of Israel. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be... Am I in the monitors at all?
No, monitors are off.
Okay, I keep hearing an echo. That's okay. Hollow heads, you know. I mean, it's probably ringing around up there somewhere. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priests. On holy nation, these are the words that thou shalt speak unto the what? And so he comes and he's confirming that. Go to Romans 15. Go to Romans 15. Verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Now therefore I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, everybody now, to confirm the promises made unto the what? That's what he was on earth for. He was there confirming the promises made not to Gentiles and to that, but was made to the fathers in the Old Testament. He's over here confirming those. He isn't working. And yet, at the exact same time that the kingdom of heaven is going on, there's another kingdom going on. It's called the kingdom... Someone said it. The kingdom of God. Now, what's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is that old gospel song. What's the name of that, Christy? That's, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Which one of those words were it? Y'all understand? Don't get mad at me. Promise? There is a season coming up. No. This one a guy wears a little red suit in. And there's a song. It says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth. That peace on earth is that kingdom thought, which isn't your hope at all. Say, well, it's not a big deal. It's a pretty big deal. Say, well, I like celebrating Christmas. Well, you do whatever you want. But I'm telling you, the songs, if you listen to them, are for that thousand-year millennial reign and has nothing to do with the hope of the rapture or the church. That's a fact. And think what you have to do to get in. You have to do good works to get into that kingdom. You know what Christmas promotes? Good works. If you do good stuff, what happens? You get gifts, and if you do bad, switches and ashes. You got it? It's all based upon your works. And the point that I'm making is there's never going to be peace on this earth until the Lord comes back. It is going to be in turmoil every day, every hour. I mean, I guarantee you I wasn't the only one cussing on I-65 today. Promise you. Did you come down from I-65 or were you down there all day? Did you cuss a little bit? I mean, people go crazy. It rains just a little bit and they want to slide all over. It's incredible.
Now somebody throws a newspaper right on the west, on the north side, and everybody on the south side has got to stop and read it.
I guess. I don't get it, but I mean, I guarantee I wasn't the only one. There were some frustrated people. And the semis, they literally think they're go-karts or something. You know? Guys, listen to me. There is never going to be peace on earth. There's going to be frustration and turmoil and welcome to the club. And that's what it's, you know, going to be. It's not going to be peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Those are artificial truths until the Lord comes back. But that kingdom, there is going to be peace. You know why? They're going to rule it with rods of iron. Now, I want you can make a comparison between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And many of y'all may know this already. I want you to go to Luke 13. If you know the answer, just keep it. There's some people may not. My goodness. It's like you probably look in everybody's gifts before they open them. And tell them. That's terrible. Did your mama spank you at all? No. Take Luke 13 and Matthew 13. And go to Matthew 13 first. One's describing the kingdom of heaven, and one is describing the kingdom of God. Look at this. See if you can tell the difference. Since Larry told you. If you fail this test, you are bad. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad he mumbled. He was like this. That's good. No. Matthew 13. Y'all get the passage. You guys on the internet, make sure you get your Bible pen out. You're going to want to mark these two. Verse 33. Another parable spake him unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto... Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. Bad. Bad, bad. Hang on just a second. Just a second. Just a second. I wrote down the wrong reference. Ah! It just... Give me just a second here. Let's go to 13. Luke 13. This is the one on the kingdom of God. I don't know. But verse 18 here in Luke 13 is the other one, the kingdom of God. Then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? And wherein shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowl of the air lodged in the branches of it. And he said unto him, this seed was cast in to this man's garden, and it grew. It says, 13:31. Yeah, there it is. It was right above 33. Look in the verse, Matthew 13:31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which, and by the way, all the different versions of the Bible mess this up. He said, which indeed is the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, and on and on. Well, what is the difference between 31, Matthew 13:31, and Luke 13, verse 18? What's the difference? Well, what, that's right. This one is in a field. And this one is in a what?
Garden.
Now, there's a lot of difference. What is the difference between a garden and a field? A garden's kept up, no weeds. You know what weeds represent?
Sin.
And so over in here, the kingdom of God is righteousness. It has nothing to do with sin and stuff. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's still what? Sin. Why do we know that? Look in Zechariah 13. If you can't find Zechariah, you haven't been studying your Bible much. Go to Matthew and back up two books. Thirteen. Now watch this. Watch this very carefully. Verse 1. Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And I also will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not what? Live. For thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through, boy, this will be interesting. Amen. Through when he prophesieth, and on and on. There's still sin in that kingdom, and when those children prophesy lies, what are they going to do? They're going to kill them. It's going to be your responsibility to take care of it. Talking about training up your child in the way he should go. Amen. Waskily wabbit. It's going to be bad. You're going to be hunting your own kids. You don't think that's serious stuff, guys? That's serious stuff. How many of your kids would make it right now? You'd have to stab them through the heart and kill them. Kind of like vampire hunting. You have to put a stake in them. That's what God said. So just like the kingdom of heaven still has sin in it, it still has to be purged. It's not purged until the very end. You got it? And you know what's going to purge it? Can you get this? Great white throne judgment. When the flames and everything melts and everything's caught on fire, And after that, it'll be pure. But till then, there's sin in that kingdom. And there's earthlings in that kingdom. And there's a kingdom of priests. Israel. You all understand? I mean, this is like, but in the kingdom of God, there is no sin. It's just pure righteousness. Go to Romans chapter 14. Go to Romans chapter 14.
It's like burning off the field before you plant it.
That's pretty close. Verse 17. The kingdom of God is not an earthly place. The kingdom of God is eternal life. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Now, are these two kingdoms intermixed?
Yes.
Yes, they are. We're in the kingdom of God, and they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, but there are some that will be in both. That will be that priesthood, and those people right there are in both. Will you be in both? No, and by the way, you're already, if you're saved, in the kingdom that you're in. And I'm going to show you that. See, the thing is people are trying to figure out up north this whole thing about eternal life. Well, guys, I did the a message we'll probably finish up on Sunday here on the Holy Spirit and some of that stuff. And when you see that, you'll understand why we are sealed and they were not. I mean, it's very, very clear. And why, if you don't rightly divide, you're going to be confused whether you're sealed or you're unsealed. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You understand it's not anything to do with this physical world. You got it? It isn't about... we're joining down in the kingdom and we're going to fellowship in the kingdom. No, no. You see that semicolon? Then it says, but righteousness and what? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see that? The kingdom of God is eternal life. It's righteousness. And by the way, you got translated into that. By the Spirit. Go to Colossians chapter 1. You've already been translated into the kingdom. You're not trying to get to the kingdom, guys. Listen, if you're trying to get to the kingdom, here's a hint. You're lost. Should I try that again? That went over like a lead brick. I mean, do you get it? I mean, if people are trying to get into the kingdom to do good works and try to get in, here's a hint. You're lost. Why? I'm already there. Say, well, you don't look like it. Hey, can't help what I look. I can just tell you what is based upon this King James Bible. In Colossians chapter 1, look if you will in verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Watch this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? And have translated us into the kingdom of His what? The kingdom of God. You got it? Going to translate us? Hath translated us. What is that? Past tense. It's a done deal. Listen, you can't work your way in there. You're put in there by being in Christ. Go to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to read with me in verse 5. Ephesians 2, verse 5. The Bible says this, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly... What? And hath made us already done. See, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're placed into the kingdom of God. Which is what? Righteousness, Eternal life. You don't have to worry about your salvation at that point. Why? You're sealed onto the day of redemption. Why? You're in the kingdom already. He can't take you out of the kingdom if you've already made it to the place of the finish line. But these people in the kingdom of heaven, they don't go in until the second coming. And guess what happens to some of them? They don't make it. See, there is no requirement for you to get into the kingdom of God except faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So what do I have to believe? That Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that He rose again. Folks, that's the gospel. You want to get saved? Listen, the easiest way to get saved is quit trying to do something. People are always on the treadmill of salvation. And they're running and they're working for it. Stop! Even the songwriter, who wrote Jesus Paid It All? You really let me down at the point that I needed you. Right at the point that I needed you, you let me down. I'm like, diving down. Yes. That songwriter, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The gospel is, it's been done. It's paid for.
Elvina Hall.
Thank you. Elvina Hall wrote that. For she knows more than most people going around on that treadmill trying to work for their salvation. Hang on. Sorry about that. Miss Hall knew the truth of it. But she couldn't have said that if she thought she was going into the kingdom. There's a list of things you had to do to get in the kingdom. I'm almost a tad bit dumbfounded. That people go to churches, and this is what I heard in my church. I'm just telling you what I heard in mine. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When our hope is not there, our gospel isn't there, and all they repeat back is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they don't even know it. If they read it, they'd say, hey, there's got to be something more that's missing. One, this kingdom was for who?
Israel.
The Jews, Israel. They had to believe something. What did they have to believe? What did they have to believe?
That He was setting up a kingdom for.
What did they have to believe? Thank you, Miss Jean. Just so everybody could hear Miss Jean, it is to believe that He was the what? Son of God. Well, that isn't our gospel, boys and girls. They had to be baptized. Mark 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, what happens if you're not baptized? You wouldn't be saved. Water required for salvation. And you ought to take Mark 16:16 and match it up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. That's what I would do. I would be turning my Bible, guys.
Mark 16:16.
He that believeth and is, I would match it up to 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn your page and write it down. You're bright, you're smart. This guy back here is an architect. But listen, let me tell you what. The rest of you all are not. Well, okay, you are. But listen to me. Write it down. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. By Mark 16. All right, let's turn there. Obviously, you guys are having problems. Go to Mark 16. I thought this would be a simple exercise. I was incorrect. Which really amazes me because I'm hardly incorrect ever. But when I am, I gotta admit it. Mark 16:16. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Let me read that. Y'all there? Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now... Baptism doth now what? Does baptism save you?
No.
Not this baptism. You got it? So water baptism is required. Three. They had to endure unto the end. Go to Matthew 24. To get into that kingdom, this is what they have to do. Go to Matthew 24. Not bad for a tired old fart, huh? You guys getting any of this? Matthew 24. Aren't you glad you came, Don? Praise the Lord. Keith, are you glad you came?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord, brother. Go to Matthew 24 and read with me in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? What happens if you're not enduring unto the end? Not going to be saved. See, it's multiple faceted. You can't just do one aspect and think, well, I'll get away with the others. You got to do it all. And that's to get into the kingdom. Stark difference from the dispensation of grace. What do you have to do there? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Look, if you will, in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Are we really going after Mexican afterwards? They were taking me out for my birthday. It's not until January 31st. But anytime somebody was willing to take me out for free for my birthday, I'm going. You're going with us?
The more important birthday.
That's right. I was saved the 24th of August, 1983.
We celebrate that birthday.
Yeah, we'll just celebrate anything. You don't care. That's as good as anything. That's the best thing ever happened in my life.
Celebrate unbirthday.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew 19, y'all there? Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You ought to underline that. It is the most intelligent question you could ask the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, I mean, there's the man that's got eternal life plans. Asking him would be the deal. Now, he didn't say, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe on me. Everything will be okay. He challenged him to make sure that he understands that there ain't none good but one, that is God. Look in verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, that's pretty important information. How many are good?
None.
I would put Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, Isaiah 64, verse 6 in your Bible right there, and Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Should I repeat those? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, Isaiah 64, verse 6, and Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, what does he tell them? I'm going to put up here, keep the commandments. That's a C. Okay? Keep the commandments. That's to get into this earthly kingdom. But the only ones that this is required of is who?
Jews.
It was never required of a Gentile. But there's a lot of Gentiles running around acting like they're Jews. Because it doesn't appear, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John very close, that you can get in if you're a Gentile. Yes?
When was the kingdom of heaven put in abeyance? Was it at the stoning of Stephen?
Ask the question again. I'm not understanding the question. Make sure.
In the book of Acts.
Yes, Acts 7.
The kingdom of heaven is still in effect after Christ's resurrection. Was it still in effect up until the stoning of Stephen?
There was a dissolving of that whole gospel thing all the way through Paul's epistles until the very end. When the 12 apostles were all stoned and gone, it was done. And it's going to be reestablished after the rapture of the church.
So, a definable point?
No, well, Acts 28 is definitely a final thing for all Jews. I mean, they're declining the whole time of the book of Acts. They're becoming low IMI. When Titus and the Roman army came in AD 70 and destroyed the temple, that was a pretty defining moment for that kingdom. It was even stopped before Jesus got here. But the ministry to Israel came to a flat out end at the end of the book of Acts. And so at that time, you can say it was gone. Was Peter and some of the 12 still around? They were dying off rapidly. They were chasing them down like killing them off. Okay, Acts chapter 10. Yeah, but he still preached them the kingdom message. Fear God and work righteousness. You know? But now, you got to understand that if Peter came in here, just skip Paul's epistles, just get that out of your mind for a minute. And we're one gospel like everybody thinks, you know, that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If Peter came in to preach to you, he would not tell you to do these things. He would tell you, look, God's going to bless us into this kingdom. If you want to come in, you're going to have to bless us. You got it? So even in Acts chapter 10, see, that's a good example where he's still dealing in a very kingdom message, very kingdom ministry. Matches up Deuteronomy 6. You know? So you've got that combination that's going. And it's real important to understand because, you know, the churches today are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this gospel wouldn't help you. Go to Matthew 25 for just a minute. I'm not going to... Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to Matthew 25. Did that answer your question, Keith?
Yes, it did.
I mean, I think it's probably the end of the book of Acts. 80, 70, all that kind of combination. When that was done, Peter's ministry was completely done, and Paul's changed.
Well, Jesus Christ never told any of those Jews that he came to die for their sins.
No, ever. Ever.
You don't find that in Acts 2 anywhere.
No, you don't find it until you reach to Paul. You know, but here's the deal. They didn't have to. Because that wasn't what they were trying to get. What were they trying to get, guys? That land and into that kingdom. You got it? That's what they were trying to do. What was at that kingdom? There's going to be a fountain flowing. Zechariah 13:1. And that was a match to Luke, where we read earlier. 168. It's a direct match. They knew that they had to get there. That's why Peter's language was so unique in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. His language is unique. Go to Matthew 25. Let's see if we can deal with a couple of these things. Verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. Now this is a Gentile. He's talking to Gentiles. Watch this. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall you sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall He gather all nations. Those are Gentile nations. You might want to write that in your Bible. Jerry Jones writes, will these two kingdoms be brought together in the fullness of time in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10? The answer is yes. Somewhere out there in the future, after the great white throne judgment, it'll all become one kingdom. Verse 32, and before Him shall He gather all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set His sheep on His right hand. Those are Gentile
nations.
And the goats on the left, who are they?
Gentile nations.
And then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. For I was a hungry, then you gave Me meat. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. Naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous, which are who? Gentile nations, which are what? Sheep. Say, Lord, when saw we Thee hungry and fed Thee, or thirsty, or gave Thee drink? Or when saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and then came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, you have done it unto Me. You blessed Israel, I owe you a blessing. You took care of My people when they were in need, I'm going to take care of you. Now, do they have eternal life? Huh? These Gentile nations?
No.
Many are going to be deceived when Satan is loosed out of the thing. But they get into the kingdom. Do they get their sins forgiven?
No.
They have to keep from prophesying lies and telling they're going to kill people in here. They got to eat of the tree. That's right. They're in the flesh. They need to eat of the tree of life, guys. That's what Revelation 21 is all about. People say, oh, I don't understand Revelation. It's because you don't understand the kingdoms.
Matthew 25 is a future event.
Yes. Well, it's the tribulation. Right here. That's where it lands.
The Gentile nations in the future.
Yes. So, if Peter had showed up today, Satan is really amazing, isn't he?
Amen.
Fine all day long till I'm ready to preach and then it comes on. Matthew 25, if Peter came and preached to you, he would never tell you to endure, believe, keep the commandments, any of that. You know what he would say? Bless a Jew. If you see him hungry, what should you do?
Feed him.
If he's thirsty, give him drink. You got it? What? Would they need a little wine? Only Gene would have a little wine, so go to Gene's house for wine. Y'all understand?
Don't give him any pork, though.
No, absolutely. Listen to me. They had to do things to get in. Even the Gentiles had to bless the Jew. You couldn't just come in free. It wasn't salvation free and clear. Wasn't any of that. They had to do it. And if they didn't, what happened to the other group? Look what he says in verse 41. Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, which are what? Gentile nation, which are who? Goats. Depart from me, ye cursed in the everlasting... What? Why are they going to hell? They cursed Israel, and God is going to curse them. Well, at this judgment.
Not now. Israel.
No, not now. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven only right now. Okay? We're talking about getting into the kingdom and that hope of the kingdom. You got it? We're not talking about the body of Christ and the kingdom of God right now.
Right now, what's our attitude toward Israel?
Well, as a nation or as individual?
That's a democracy, we know that.
Well, Israel is nothing right now. They're still low MI. They're not there yet. They're going to be, but they're not right now. Israel has been set aside. And this is the problem. The gospel that everybody's teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you say it's not a big deal. Do you realize that churches are full in Montgomery of places that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And your hope isn't even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, they're packed. They can't get people in. I'm not kidding you. Over on Bell Road, the Bell Road Methodist Church, Bell and Atlanta Highway. We had a guy that came here. He's now in Mobile. He left here and went to over to Selma to work, and so we haven't seen him in a while, but his name was Jesse Hendricks. And he'd been watching my program on TV and starting to learn some right division and starting to get some of the stuff. And his preacher got up and preached that Paul never made it to Rome. And so there was about a 250 crowd there. And he said, "Preacher, can I read you something?" And he read where Paul made it to his own hired house in Rome. And the countenance on the preacher when he first stood up was like, "Oh, good, somebody's participating." And as he read, his countenance went like this. Because he was found a
liar.
And the reason I'm telling you this is when you stay and preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guess what you're going to ultimately have to end up being? And you know, it seems so strange to me, or muy poquito odd, okay? What's odd in Spanish? Muy poquito what? Okay, I don't know. Muy poquito odd. Weirdy-o-o. I don't know. Loco, I know that. Listen to me. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not even telling you the right things to do to get into the kingdom. So they're preventing you from seeing the gospel of Christ. And also, and it's like, it's okay if my mom and dad, it's okay if my brothers and sisters, it's okay. It isn't okay. I guarantee you, I ask thousands of people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And most of them answer like this. Most of them, 99.9. And I've done over 10,000. I guarantee you, since I've been saved 27 years, I've done that many. And I'm just telling you, the honest truth, you start asking that question. Don't barefoot around your employees, your people you work with, your associates. Just ask this question. Write it down. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And these are the answers I get. I hope I go to heaven. I said, that's great. Why? And these are the list of things. I'm trying to be the best I can. I'm keeping the commandments. You know, I join the church. I ask for forgiveness on a regular basis. I believe in Jesus. Well, don't you understand the devils believe in Jesus, guys?
I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection.
I believe in the DBR, the death, burial, and resurrection. That isn't the gospel. You see the problem? I mean, how many have asked that question? What kind of answer did you get?
Everyone that you just get more forced than
that. Out of all the 10,000, I only got 3 that were correct. One, Larry was with me up in Wetumpka. This was years ago. I was talking to the cashier, and the lady from behind the counter came up to that McDonald's and said, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, why would God let you in? She said, because Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's the right answer. Boom. If someone is confessing their sins, we talked about that with because of your aunt. You know, I'm not trying to make people mad, but you know what? If you're confessing your sins, you don't really believe He's forgiven you. If you're sitting down and asking God, saying, Lord, forgive me, you don't really believe He did it. Otherwise, you'd be like me. You know what I say? Thank God for that blood. Amen? Thank God He shed it for me. Because you know what? Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there'd be no hope for me. I'm telling you, I've only had that answer correctly given to me 3 times. You're telling me people aren't confused out there? They are in a muddle of mess. I bet you, some of y'all could even name some preachers that are in muddles of messes.
Yes,
listen, Jack Van Impe doesn't know whether there's really a rapture or a second coming. He thinks you're all one event. He's confused. You know why? He fails to rightly divide. And if you understand these two kingdoms, guys, if you understand these two kingdoms, guess what you got? You got right division down. You know why? Because you know what the difference of the hopes are. The hope of Israel and the hope of the church, the body of Christ. One's instant eternal life. Listen, you're already seated in heavenly places the moment you trust Christ. And you are sealed according to the Holy Spirit onto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And you know what, guys? That's the greatest news I can tell you.
Amen.
So, yes?
Go ahead.
Oh, go. So,
go ahead.
So what do I tell them when they say all of those weird things?
What?
When you ask the person the question and they tell you all of those list of things, then what am I going to tell them?
Well, then tell them the truth. What's the truth about them?
If I get them to come here, they might...
No, don't. Listen, it isn't about Grace Bible Church. Listen, win those people to the Lord. Don't wait to drag them here. They may die.
Yeah.
Tell them the truth. What is the truth? There ain't none good, no, not one. There is not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. All your righteousness are as filthy rags. Listen, lady, you can't get in by that. Christ only died for the what? Ungodly. He died for enemies, sinners. He didn't die for the good people. He died for people like me. And then you share them that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and that He rose again. And I always give an illustration. Come here, Christy, for a minute. I usually have a glass. Well, I do have a glass up here, actually. Come on up here where they can see you. I always do an illustration like that. All that water and ice represents your sins.
I have more than that.
Not you. But it doesn't matter if you have any in there, it's bad. You can't get in. So, why don't you have any sins anymore? See, it isn't about repentance. It isn't because she repented that she doesn't have any sins. It isn't because she asked for it. 2,000 years ago, I became sin for her. So, how many sins do you have?
None.
And I use that. I use a book. I say all these pages represent your sin. Sometimes sugar packs on the table. Well, I guess so now. You've walked off the stage. No, I'm fine. So, you all understand? At that point, you witness to them. And what happens if they get the answer right? Praise God and get their number and fellowship with them. They're in the same body you are. Keith?
1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4.
Fight the gospel.
That defines it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Romans 10, 8 through 13. Romans 9.
Oh, all of that. But you don't need all that information, though. What do you need? To let them know that they can't get there on their goodness. Amen? Number one. Number two, that what? Jesus paid it all. By grace are you saved? Romans 8. You know, I mean, you can just go through the list of verses. But that's what you do at that point. And you know what I've always found? And this is a fact. Always use this book. Don't say, well, it says this. They're like, oh, you're just making that up. When you get their nose in the book, it changes everything. That's the authority.
But we were talking about this the other day. We were talking about John 3:16. I said, there's no blood.
There's no gospel.
And then they came back to, yes, but you believe, and I believe, and therefore I am saved. And I kind of like what Gene is saying. Uh-oh, now where do I go?
Well, I showed them that.
I'm kind of blocked.
You've got more knowledge. Listen, it just starts showing them what, rightly dividing how that gospel couldn't be taught in John 3. That's what rightly dividing teaches. How many here knows how to rightly divide? Yeah, you guys just use that. And again, if you want to go out, I'll go out with you. The best way to learn to witness is take me out. You want me to go with you? I'm willing. I'll be here Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday all week, guys. I'm in for the whole week gig. So if you want me, call me on the phone. Now, Jerry Jones, don't call me. I'm driving to Chattanooga. But call me. And I'll go out there and witness. And it won't be fun. It'll be bloody. Might have to duck a little bit as they throw things at us out of the house. But I'm not going there to get thrown out. I'm going there to give them eternal life. All right. Anyone else? Good stuff, Keith. Thanks. Anyone else? Well, it's about 8:10 or 8:08. We're done.